Right, hey, it's been a long hiatus, but I'm finally back. Coming to you from Bond Street Brewery, this is the Naughty Guy, Adam J. I'm here with a very good friend, Mike.
Hey, I'm glad we're back.
So, we're here to kind of discuss a pretty big event for me. I mean, this is huge for me. So we're... you want to take over?
Oh, yeah. So we're looking at doing a Naughty Guy beer. We're teaming up with Adam, and he kind of helped us develop what style of beer, what flavor profiles we're looking for, certain ABVs, IBUs, all the fun technical stuff. For me, the fun part is I get somebody else in here on a brew day to do all the heavy lifting for me.
So that's going to be a lot of fun to learn how to do all this. What I remember, we kind of made this decision back in September.
September, October-ish is, I think, when we were talking about it.
Yeah, that was the first mention of it.
And we kind of had to wait to get past the whole tourism fatigue that happens every year. I mean, I think last year there was 1.2 million people that came into town, and it kicked us in the teeth.
This is the first time I've ever seen where the brewery was right on the brink of running out of beer.
Yeah. It's normally we can handle quite a bit. We had to make some changes, you know, mid-season, and just kind of roll with a lot of the punches.
Turned out to be a great year, though.
Oh yeah, it was a wonderful year, profit-wise. I mean, and we got to develop a bunch of new beers. We started working on some more sours, which. I'm always excited when we can expand our recipe book. But yeah, as we were talking about making a Naughty Guy beer, we kind of had to put it on the back burner for a little bit so we could kind of let a lot of the different styles of beer kind of ruminate. A big thing that we were trying to get to was finding the right beer that suits Adam.
There was one that was absolutely one of my favorites. I think it was early summer. You had the wheat wine.
Yeah, I really like that one. Now, if I remember right, the wheat wine. So the wheat wine is designed primarily because neither myself nor Sean, the owner and brewmaster, like barley wines. You have too much residual sugars floating around in there by design, and it's just a style of beer that has never really resonated with either of us, and so we kind of wanted to take it in a completely different direction. Sean came up with the idea of doing a wheat wine, which is, if you think sweet red wines versus a dry white wine, that yes, they're both technically wines, but you end up with two drastically different flavor profiles. In this case, the wheat wine still has a fairly high alcohol percentage, relatively low IBUs. You don't want the hops to really talk a whole lot, but you want it to be smooth. I want to say the wheat wine came in right around 10-ish%. Last time I'd have to go back to the paperwork to figure out exactly what it was.
I think it was actually 10.1.
Ah, man, I'm slipping. That 0.1%, I'm slipping.
It's right around.
Yeah, I want to say it's 27 IBUs. It might even be a little bit lower than that. And we had used an Emerald Spire, which is we didn't want a whole lot of floral aspects to it. We didn't want a lot of bitterness. We wanted kind of a really clean, clean beer. And that took a lot of people by surprise. Most people have never heard of a wheat wine.
I hadn't before that.
And so we decided that, you know, while we were talking about, you know, different styles of beer, we knew that for Adam we wanted to go with a high octane. We want a really high alcohol percentage. We don't really want an IPA. Adam's flavor, or you know, his palate is nothing like, say, Chris Boss's, who the hoppier the better. So when, you know, we kind of are taking it in a different direction. I think we had talked a little bit about doing like a Belgian style beer for a while.
Yeah, we had tossed around a few different ideas. One was a Belgian white.
Yep.
And we kind of, we were kind of flirting with that idea. And then we kind of nailed down what I like is a amber.
Yeah.
Now, you guys already had another project lined up for the amber, which I'm totally cool with that. Because I do love the wheat wine.
So we're looking at doing a peach wheat wine where we'll incorporate roughly 85 pounds of a aseptic peach puree directly into it. And we're shooting for somewhere right around 11-12%. I think that's a decent alcohol percentage for this. We don't want a 15% because no matter what you do, no matter how long you age that out, it's going to be tasting like a shot every time you take a sip.
No, we don't want that.
Now, we want you to be able to feel the alcohol and, you know, obviously taste that it's there, but we don't want that sharp, fusel alcohol taste in there. So this is going to be kind of an ever-evolving project. I think we're tentatively looking at doing the actual brew day and making it in towards the end of May, giving it a few months. I think we're looking at about 3 months to age it out. What we really want to do is kind of break down the fusel alcohols, that kind of sharp alcoholic taste that you normally get. Mm-hmm. We kind of want to smooth that out. So even though it's an 11-12% beer, we want it to feel like it's a 7-8% beer.
You don't want to have that sharp bitterness. You don't want that punch in the mouth
when you sip it. Right. And, you know, it's... I think it's kind of a good thing that we're looking at going down to 12-ounce glasses. I think that's safer for everybody. I'm excited about this because I really enjoyed the process of making the wheat wine. It's a really high grain bill, and it gives us... It kind of allows us to let certain grains kind of do a lot of the talking for us. And they really end up shining through in this beer. And so we're looking at, you know, I'll be dragging Adam in here for brew day, which means that he gets to sweat and feel all the steam and possibly burn himself because he's touching, you know, a hot liquor tank that's 212 degrees.
I'm a cook by training, so been there, done that.
And he gets I think this grain bill, if I remember right, is somewhere just shy of 500 pounds. And you got to think, for every pound of grain, it holds onto a gallon of water. A gallon of water is 8 pounds. I'll let you guys sit there and do the math. He's going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting.
That's going to be quite a bit, yeah.
I'm excited. And for me, one of the things that I really like about having a guest brewer is it allows me to show somebody the intricate aspects of the chemistry on the fly that I normally talk about. You know, all the different readings that we end up doing, the attention to detail, where we have some flexibility to kind of play around a little bit more, you know, and this one, I think by design, is going to require 50 pounds of an additional sugars that get added to it just to get a really high ABV. We're actually looking at implementing a couple of new, production processes to this. We're going to be using an Oshpong Kvik yeast, which has an upper alcohol tolerance of, I want to say it's 15 or 16% alcohol. We've used this on several other beers and we've gotten great results. Normally a beer will take 5 to 7 days for it to go through primary fermentation. With this yeast, start to finish, 3 days. It is insane. And we're gonna be looking at reintroducing fresh oxygen partway through the primary fermentation, kind of to give it that extra little boost of energy.
Reinvigoration.
Exactly. To make sure that a lot of the yeast that start to tire themselves out, put themselves to sleep, you know, we can reactivate a lot of those and kind of give them a second wind. And I think by doing this, we should end up with something a lot closer to 12%. I may even surprise myself and it may end up at closer to 13%. We'll find out.
Either way, it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm really excited about it. We're talking about the launch. I know traditionally you guys have a special beer for this time of year. regardless.
Yes.
So being a part of that with the Naughty Guy is freaking amazing for me.
Well, I'm really excited about it. It's something that I had kind of talked to Donna about doing something, because the actual release date, I guess we can go ahead and talk about when we're actually going to put it out. So the Blueberry Festival here in town, the first weekend in August, is a big town thing. Basically, all of downtown shuts down. And in the past, we've always done a Blueberry Berliner Weiss. We tried it out, I think, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, on a very small scale, and now it's highly on demand.
It's a very good beer.
People expect that on Blueberry Fest, and so not only will we be doing the Blueberry Berliner Weiss, but we'll also be releasing the Naughty Guy beer. And with that one, we'll have Adam set up here. We'll have his table set up with all of his work.
I'll have all of my fancy nut work here, whether it be inside or outside. It doesn't matter to me. But
it's Ketchikan. I mean, it could rain. It could not rain. Hell, it's August. It could be snowing. We don't know.
So we're hoping for a really good turnout here.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that I always like about when we release a beer with a guest brewer, you know, that's been back there is having them on site to tell them how their experience was going through it. Because I could tell you all day what a brew day is like. It's a whole different experience to somebody else who it's not their day-to-day job.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm so excited about this. I'm learning something new. I'm getting behind the scenes. I mean, I've had countless talks with you in the back.
Oh, yeah.
To actually get hands-on with it is going to be a lot of fun.
It is a whole new experience when you're actually doing the work yourself, and you're kind of, I could tell you why we sanitize certain spots, you know, why we move the piping around or the hoses around like we do, what we're looking for, but until you're actually there in the moment, it doesn't quite click the same. And in a weird way, you end up getting a certain sense of pride because you're doing the work. It's the same exact reason why every rendition of the Boss Triple IPA, I grab Chris Boss. I'm like, guess what? We're making this beer. It's time for you to get back to work.
Come on in, buddy.
And you know, I'm really thinking that with this one, because we're using roughly 85 pounds of peach in there, that the peach it's not going to be hidden by the high alcohol. I think it'll blend really well with the grain bill that we have going on with it. A relatively light hopping schedule. We're not looking at dry hopping or anything like this. You know, we had talked a little bit about, you know, maybe we pull in some spices to kind of, I guess, highlight some aspects of the peach or the grain or, you know, I don't know if we're going to need to. I really don't think we're going to need to. I think the peach and the wheat wine themselves are going to, you know, just kind of blend perfectly together.
Yeah, if you kind of think back to the flavor of that wheat wine that you made, It had such a soft, smooth finish. It was nothing hoppy about it.
Nope.
It was almost, how do I put this, almost creamy.
Yes. So, and that's one of the things that the wheat will do, will change the mouthfeel of it. You know, when we were originally looking at the recipe for the wheat wine, Sean and I had talked about, you know, how much Pilsner, how much wheat, how much white wheat, you know, are there, there's various different types of two-row, or, you know, would we look at doing something like a Marisot or, you know, various grain selections. Now, again, like every beer, I always like to emphasize my job is to create or to produce the beer. The actual recipe is 110% Sean's. You know, as a matter of fact, every step of the way, right after me and Adam would talk about, you know, some of the ideas that we would come up with, I would turn right around the next day and run it by Sean. I'd get his feedback on it. He would tweak kind of my perspective about certain things. You know, so there's a reason why he's the brewmaster, and I'm just the production guy.
You're the assistant brewmaster.
Yeah. I'm That's the guy who lifts heavy stuff.
You can cuss on yours, but.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. but you know, while we were talking and developing the peach wheat wine, you know, I originally was thinking something like an allspice, or think like a peach cobbler or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And Sean had pointed out to me that, you know, it's a drier beer. You know, you don't have any of that residual sugars. So you can't really play that pie so much, because that sweetness isn't really there. It's smooth, it's just not sweet.
Gotcha. I really like the idea of just letting the peach flavor speak for itself.
And so ideally what I'm looking at doing is, granted, because we're going to be doing it at the beginning of the summer, it is kind of a little bit on the production base, but I'd like to leave it sitting on the fruit for as long as possible. And what that'll do is allow the residual yeast to kind of incorporate a little bit more of that peach puree and that peach flavor into the beer a little bit more. But once it's done sitting on there, I'm going to throw it in some kegs and put it in quarter and forget about it for 3 months.
That's going to be the tough part. Because I'm always going to be asking.
So I will say, any beer that we age out, we do have a system in place to check it every couple of weeks, specifically because if there's any type of off flavors, if there's any type of anything that's not supposed to be there, the sooner we know about it, the better. Granted, this should have a high enough alcohol percentage that's a virtually a non-issue. But, you know, we can actually see how it's developing from start to finish. You know, I can always tell if a beer is too young. There's things like our amber is a prime example. We have to let that age out for a minimum of 6 weeks. As soon as if you were to take it right out of the fermenter, yes, it still tastes like an amber. But there's something, there's some fusel alcohols in there. There's something that the flavor hasn't fully developed. It hasn't really blossomed yet. You don't cut
mature.
Yeah, you don't cut flowers before they bloom. Exactly. So why would you do that to a beer?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. And you know, I think the Blueberry Festival is the right time to do it. It's going right into the peach harvest season. Granted, I'm not harvesting any peaches up here. Sorry, we just don't grow them. It's not Georgia.
Yeah. But the reason that I asked for a peach-flavored beer is because I drink peach iced tea all the time. That's my absolute favorite iced tea. Hands down, nothing better. So when I think of the Naughty Guy beer, I kind of think of that iced tea that I like to drink.
Yep.
You know, it's going to hit hopefully somewhere around that flavor.
So you'll have the peach notes in there. Now, I do always want to emphasize that when we fruit a beer, one of the things that we look for is balance. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for it to be too much of the beer side of things, where you can't really tell that it's fruited at all. But we also don't want it to be too fruity, where you forget that it's a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not selling juice here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how it works. So, you know, finding that balance. And, you know, I think peach has a very delicate flavor. When you're dealing with it. As a matter of fact, we currently have a peach goes that the esters kind of sing a lot more. And initially, it was just so subtle. And you kind of have to, you don't want it to be overpowering, but you still want it to be there.
Exactly. Now, I did try the peach goes, and it was good, but it was a little too subtle.
Yes, and so that's also the style of beer. So a goes, generally speaking, is a lighter beer. Normally it comes in about 2.5%. I think ours is sitting right around a little over 4%. Might even hit 4.5%. But we even took that part up a notch by introducing a peach spice tea directly into it. We did a super concentrated peach spice tea and infuse that into it to kind of give it a little bit more of a boost, not just on the peach, but something to help balance out we didn't want tart and peach.
Yeah.
I mean, those two, you need something to kind of bridge that gap.
Peach should be a little sweet.
Yes. And with the peach wheat wine, what we're going to be looking at doing is kind of having the mouthfeel and the actual beer itself kind of bridge the gap in between the alcohol, the higher ABV, and the peach notes that are in there. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun making it and watching it develop.
Yeah, it's exactly how I feel about it. I'm super excited. I'm going to be set up here at Budden. I'm going to have my table out there, all of my stuff on display. Be here to talk with anybody if they're interested about it. So,
you know what? I figure at that point in time, you can start giving tours to the back, and so I can take the day off. That's my goal.
I've been trying to get my foot in the door here for years.
Oh, it's still also in the peak of the tourist season. So during that time, I give anywhere from 1 to 4 tours of the brew house every day.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean,
well, and my first rule back there is I've got no problem telling people, you know, everything I'm doing back there, having them look around, answering their questions. Just know that it's a working brew house, so I'm going to be working around you. And if I tell you to move, if you don't move, I'm just going to move you.
The number one thing is just don't touch anything.
And, you know, generally speaking, everything back there is pretty safe. I kind of guide people away from anything that might injure them. Yeah, you'll see that on brew day.
Well, you got to be careful of sanitation. You got to be careful. There's hot elements back there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of ways to make a mess.
There's a lot of containers that are under pressure back there. I mean, and anything on the cold side, the slightest, you know, contaminant in any of those fermenters, any of the hoses that we're using with those fermenters, anything along those lines, 155 gallons of beer go straight down the drain at that point.
Man, that's awful.
It breaks my heart when it happens. It doesn't happen too often. I think the last 5 years we've had maybe 4 that we just went straight down the drain because it didn't meet our quality control standards, which for us is great, especially since we have sours right next to our standard ales.
You guys have got quite the list here. I mean, you've got IPAs, you've got the Goes, you've got Amber.
Oh, we've got I think we have 6 different IPAs, 5 or 6 different IPAs, 5 or 6 different Goses. We've got 3 different Berliner Weisses, Saisons out the ass. And then, you know, we start to expand on things like during this offseason, we did a brown ale that did really well.
The brown ale was really nice.
We did our Down the Hatch, our Hatch Chili cream ale, which worked out really well. You know,
that was a branch off of just your cream ale.
That was just our cream ale. And then we actually had a friend of the brewery bring in a bunch of Hatch chilies that he had roasted himself. And we're like, you know what? I'm gonna make this into a beer. Now if I can get him to bring me 10 pounds of it, I can make a full batch of it. Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that I like to do, or I like that we do here, is we're always changing up our menu. Yes, we have some staples like the Hook Tender. We have, you know, the Shut Up Donna, the Mark IV. Depending on the time of year, you have the Cruel Mistress, the Amber, the Imperial Stout. You have some of the kind of the hallmarks that we kind of keep around at certain times of year because they're seasonal beers, but we're always looking for new ideas. One that happened this off season, I think since the last time I was on here, was the Blonde Stout,
which was a very good beer.
Which, you know, everybody kind of like, nah, do we really want to try that? Well, it's got the body of a blonde and every bit of the flavor of a stout. You get the chocolate, the coffee, the vanilla that you expect, but it came in, I want to say, at like 5.2%, 5.7%. 5.7% sounds right. So it's relatively low, easy drinking, and
very smooth.
Very smooth. That's that. That was another one that we just kind of made up what we were doing as we were going along.
But it turned out great. And, you know, one of my buddies from back home, he would have come in, had a sip, he would have said, you know what? That tastes like another. Line me up.
Yeah. That's about right.
It was that good. I mean, it was that smooth.
Well, and this summer, we actually have a few other beers that we're looking at releasing. We've actually got a Blackberry Berliner Weiss that should be coming out within the next month or so that, to me, it's the best Berliner Weiss that I've ever had.
I'm looking forward to trying that.
That you get three different types of acids, and you can tell each one individually, and they just blend so well together. We'll be looking at doing, you know, our cucumber sea salt goes again.
That one was really popular.
That one, it was hard to keep on the shelves.
That is awesome.
But that's also the big difference when you're using a lot of fresh products and you're paying attention to a lot of the details and care that goes into it. I mean, that beer in itself took me and Kyle sitting back there for the better part of a day sanitizing and peeling cucumbers just to juice them.
Holy cow.
there's a lot of hands-on in that one.
Yep. As with any beer, really. I mean, everything that you guys do, there's so much that goes into it that people don't know.
No, and I think a big part of that, you know, while we do kind of wing some of the production aspects of it, we're like, oh, we'll just try it. We'll see what happens. Sean does have a really good grasp as to what his final product he wants it to be and a clear path on how we can get to that point, which is why, you know, while technically this peach wheat wine is an experimental beer for us, we've never made one. So
we're hoping for the best.
I have full faith in what the end product's going to be. I think the standards here are extremely high for the quality of beer that we put out. And if it's not quality beer, guess what? We're not putting it out. I would much rather disappoint everybody, talk it up for an entire year, and then, hey guys, it just didn't work out. That is my bad. That's not going to happen with this one.
I'm totally looking forward to this, and I've let a lot of people know already. But for anybody listening out there, spread the word.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be at Blueberry Festival at Bond Street Brewery here in Ketchikan.
And, you know, I'm going to be talking it up to everybody that comes in. I mean, anytime that we have a new style of beer that we haven't done in the past, or, you know, in this case, it's especially, you know, it's kind of, I mean, we've done a lot of work with Adam throughout the years here. I mean, he does a lot of stuff for us. And, you know, it's something that I kind of want to push even harder. There's certain things that, you know, it's a mutual respect reciprocation type of thing. I'm just excited for it.
Oh, man. I don't think there's anybody more excited about this than me. I mean, just like I said, you know, I've always wanted to have the Naughty Guy name on something like this. To be associated with a brewery like this is huge. This is awesome. This is my favorite place in Ketchikan next to my house. I spend all of my free time here when I can.
Just know that, you know, if we have a hard time keeping this on the shelves, you're going to be coming in to make this every time I go to make this.
That's all right. I'll do it.
We can't do it more than a few times a year, primarily because we have to age it out for several months.
Yep.
But just know any time that we make it, I'm bringing your ass in here. Guess what you're doing? Yeah,
that's a deal, man.
Go.
Happy to do it, man.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is going to happen on Blueberry Festival.
Well, and I was kind of thinking about this, and I think on actual brew day, maybe we should do a few little clips and snippets throughout the brew day to, you know, you that way you can tell everybody kind of how your experience is going and what kind of keep everybody updated on the progress of everything.
Oh, absolutely. I'm totally open to that. That sounds like a lot of fun because I'll be telling everybody, yeah, Mike's a fucking slave driver.
And Mike's a dick. If anybody asks, just Mike's a dick. Guaranteed to be an asshole to you. He'll help you out, but he's going to talk shit the entire time.
But he's also funny, and he's also my cousin, so that's why we get along so well.
Cool.
But, you know, I I do spend a lot of time here, and if you're familiar with the TV show of Cheers.
Yeah, it does start to feel a bit like that. We don't have a Norm, we have a Donna. Sorry.
Well, when I walk in, everybody remembers me, so hey, everybody. It's always like they greeting Norm. Norm!
Yeah, right.
That's this guy right here. Hey, everybody. It's been a tough day. Everybody likes to come here and have a good time.
Well, and now that we have some new brewery hours, we'll actually be able to stay open a little bit later. I think the new hours with the new laws that are passed. And Grant, keep in mind, I'm production. I'm not the front of the house. I want to say it's 9 o'clock. Everybody get the fuck out.
I think the state law states that everybody has to be out the door by 9:30.
It could be 9:30 and done pouring it.
Again,
that's me working in the back of the house, not the front. I just know we got longer hours. We are in the process of hopefully getting some seasonal outdoor seating, kind of open it up a little bit more.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Have a little beer garden outside here.
Well, and I always like to remind people that, you know, the brewery is a really dog-friendly place. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times you brought your dog in here? I think
every time I can.
Exactly.
There's a lot of dogs that come in here. There's Blueberry, there's Pistachio, there's Bandit, and numerous other dogs.
As a matter of fact, there was a couple in here, I think this last week, who haven't been here long. They've only been here a couple of weeks, and I swear, every Saturday and Sunday I come in, and that's how they familiarize their dogs with other people. They bring them to the brewery.
Hell yeah.
They set up play dates at the brewery.
That's a good place to meet people. It's just a good place to have fun. It's a nice environment here. Come on in. Everybody's always happy to chat you up. So,
if you have any questions about brewing, feel free to ask Kyle. No, really, if you have any questions on the brewing process, different beers, anything along those lines, stop
need
in.
Need advice, yeah.
You know, we are more than happy to help people out, you know, give them what we do and kind of help them scale it down on their side. I think every brewery I've gone to in the last couple of years outside of Ketchikan, one of the things I love to do is talk to some of the production guys, because inevitably there's always some hurdles that brewers run into. And it's that type of community where you go in, it's like, oh yeah, we ran into that, you know, a couple years ago. This is how we fixed it. You know, maybe this will help you out.
Yeah, always got to bounce ideas off other people. It's always a good thing. Same goes for podcasting, movie making, whatever you do. You know, any kind of artist. This is what I do. Let's bounce some ideas off. It's always a great thing. It's always appreciated. You've always welcomed me in every time I've come in to talk to you about any of this stuff, because I've always been curious about making my own beer.
Yeah, waiting for you to set up a homebrew. You get the equipment to do a homebrew setup, and I'll help you make your beer.
I'll definitely do it as soon as I can. I got to get my man cave built first.
You got to get the time, too.
Yeah, I'm still working. I work 5 days a week now, which down from 6 days a week. Ooh, boy, I'll tell you, that was a rough scratch.
Well, it's like summertime. I mean, even when I take a couple days off, I'm still on call to answer questions, and there's definitely a grind to it.
Yeah, but we wouldn't do it if we didn't love it.
No. Oh, hell no.
So what I do, what you do, we both work hard, but there's a lot of passion behind it.
I think there kind of has to be.
And that's where the Naughty Guy beer comes in. Like, I'm very passionate about this place. Always have been. Always loved it. Always wanted to, have my name associated with a special beer. So this is massive for me. This is huge. I'm super excited.
Hopefully we don't disappoint.
I don't think we will. I think it's going to be really good. Just letting the beer speak for itself. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great. Hopefully we'll get to meet a lot of new people.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully word is going to get out and we'll see a lot of people here.
I think it's going to be nuts. It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
I like the chaos.
Chaos can be a good thing. Not always, but it can be a good thing. But You got anything else to add?
No, I think that's it for right now, and just kind of look forward to further updates as this whole process kind of evolves along.
And I'll keep you folks updated, regardless if Mike can make it or not. We'll be pushing along on this thing, and we'll definitely speak to you all soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Always a good time.
Cool.
All right. Take care, everybody.